Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk about, well, what else? It's back to school time. Jeff Simmons, who is president of the Aberdeen Catholic Schools, will join us to talk about what they're doing to prepare teachers, students, and getting ready for another great school year in our Catholic schools across eastern South Dakota. Jean Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Renee Leach with the first and second reading. Father Timothy Smith with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, observe what is right, do what is just, for my salvation is about to come, my justice about to be revealed. The foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, ministering to him, loving the name of the Lord, and becoming his servants, all who keep the Sabbath free from profanation and hold to my covenant, them I will bring to my holy mountain and make joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I glory in my ministry in order to make my race jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable, just as you once disobeyed God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience. So they now have disobeyed in order that by virtue of the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God delivered all to disobedience that he might have mercy upon all. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the Bonham Knights of Columbus Council number 4002 recently had its first degree team recognized at the Knights State Convention for being the longest-serving degree team. The Bonham Knights of Columbus Council also recently held a first degree ceremony welcoming new members to the council. You can read and see more about the Bonham Knights of Columbus in the August edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, every summer, students from Bethlehem University in Palestine intern at different work sites around the world. This summer, Lara Kasbari came to Washington to intern at the Christian Brothers Conference. A senior at the university in the fall, she is a business administration major with a minor in marketing. Bethlehem University, founded in 1973 in the Lasallian tradition, was the first university in the West Bank and the first Catholic university in the Holy Land. There are currently more than 3,200 students enrolled and 326 faculty and staff, according to a university fact sheet. Students who are part of the ambassador program at the university are the ones who are able to travel for the summer internships. The summer internship program at the university are the ones that handle that. They prepared this one young woman to become more self-reliant since she did not know that as many people in Washington beforehand. It's been a totally different experience because the other interns are in different places, Kasbari said. It's more about being independent, and that's what I gained as well in this internship. getting a taste of the real work life as well as being more independent, she said. Blessed Oscar Romero, the murdered Archbishop of San Salvador, is a martyr of hope, said Chilean Cardinal Ricardo Izate, President Pope Francis's envoy to the celebration of the centennial of the Archbishop's birth. Blessed Romero is a true martyr of hope, the great martyr of hope, said the Santiago Cardinal. He is so for the continent's poor. He is so for the people of El Salvador. He is so for the hope of our beloved church, for all who struggle for justice, reconciliation, peace, and affectionately call him Saint Romero of America. Cardinal Izate gave the homily recently at the Salvadoran Cathedral, where people gathered for a special mass. He said Blessed Romero's closeness to the poor led him to see with his eyes the injustice the peasants were suffering. Repeatedly interrupted by applause, the cardinal quoted a letter from Pope Francis to the Salvadoran bishops on Blessed Romero's beatification in 2015, quoting, "Those who have Archbishop Romero as a friend in faith, those who admire him, find in him the strength and encouragement to build the people of God, to commit to a more balanced and dignified social order." Church leaders from Oceana meeting in New Zealand to discuss protecting the oceans also served meals to the homeless and met with Pacific Islander high school students. A cardinal from Papua New Guinea, an archbishop from New Caledonia, and four bishops from Australia and New Zealand served meals to people who are homeless, mentally unwell, or otherwise economically deprived at the Auckland City Mission recently. The prelates were in Auckland for a week-long meeting of the Executive Committee of the Federation of Catholic Bishops' Conferences of Oceania. The meeting focused on protection of the oceans and the welfare of the people dependent thereon, as well as concerns for the people of West Papua, an Indonesian province. In a statement, the church leaders described their time at the Auckland City Mission as a humbling experience during which we felt deeply Christ's call to sit and walk alongside those who struggle or find themselves on the margin of society. The day before their work at the city mission, the prelates visited De La Salle's College in South Auckland, a high school with a predominantly Pacific Islander student body. Cardinal John Ribot of Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea, was the main celebrant at a mass for a feast of the Assumption of Blessed Virgin Mary, which was celebrated in advance so the church leaders could be included. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Still celebrating, though, around the world.
Exactly.
Same as it is everywhere.
Exactly.
All right, Gene, thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Jeff Simmons, who is president of the Aberdeen School System. It's that time of year when schools around the state, particularly our Catholic schools, are gearing up. They've either started or are about to start. And Jeff, I'm sure that's true in Aberdeen as well.
That is correct. We're getting ready to go.
Well, it's good to have you with us this morning. You have been in the system now, I think, a few years and probably have a pretty good feel for how this process works.
This is beginning my third year and starting to feel a bit comfortable, I suppose, in regard to what we're doing. But there's always something that comes at you that's new and keep you on your toes.
When you think about that time of preparation for getting back to school, who do you think of first? Do you think about the teachers first? Do you think about the students first?
Well, you know, it's that time, I guess. When I think about teachers, because I'm looking at my calendar in August and looking at the in-service schedule and all of the training that we do before school actually starts. So that's always my primary focus, I suppose, is getting the teachers excited about coming back.
Talk a little bit about that, Jeff. What is that? Because I think that's an area that people don't really probably even think about very much, that there's a lot of there is a lot of training, a lot of preparation that that the teachers go through before the school season school session even opens.
Well, you know, and it's a balance, because you know we want to have our teachers coming in and excited and enthusiastic and full of energy, and then you know what do? To them, we give them 8 hours of in-service and talk about routines and procedures, and some of it's a little bit dry. And so we need to have activities and in-service that gets them excited and gets them ready for the school year. And actually this year, we are doing the first ever spiritual retreat at the Abbey of the Hills, and we're excited about that. That's coming up on the 18th, so we've invited all of our teachers and staff to go over there and hopefully sharpen their saw and get them ready getting ready for the school year.
That's a really key piece, isn't it, for a Catholic school and for Catholic school teachers? You know, we think about the old days when we could rely on the religious to staff our schools. Of course, those days are long gone. And lay teachers now really have to, they really have to be prepared for that side of it as well, don't they?
You know, and you're absolutely right. We have a, I'm looking at the pamphlet right here on my desk. When you teach in a Catholic school, a lot of times, especially our teachers who are not Catholic, you know, what does that mean? And to give them the hand them over the faith and give them the power and the passion in their heart to have the courage to stand up in front of a group of students and lead them spiritually as well as academically. So we really hope that, that retreat on the 18th does that for that for our new teachers and provides them the spiritual energy that they need to get through the school year.
So who helps with that? Are your pastors involved in that sort of an effort?
You know, Michaela Heller, our mm-hmm. administrative assistant here, she does a great job. She's enlisted some folks over at the Abbey to help us through that. And we have a guest speaker coming in. And, of course, I can't remember his name right now, Sean. I'm drawing a blank. But we're excited about that message, and Michaela's put all that together.
She's got such a rich background from her years of working in the Newman Center. She kind of gets that world pretty well.
Absolutely. She's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And that's, again, I think that's a piece of it that maybe, you know, the general public doesn't think about, that these teachers, as you said, stand up in front of the class and really have to be able to share a bit about their faith if they're going to impart it to the kids.
That's right. And it's it takes courage to get up and do that. Like I said, we have a young man coming fresh out of college. He's not much older than the kids he's going to be teaching, and mm-hmm. and we have to provide him the tools to do that. And besides the retreat, we start on the 21st, and primary and elementary teachers get together here at Roncalli, and they go over all of the nuts and bolts, housekeeping items that they need to work on. And on the 22nd, we get together as a whole staff, and we're going over, you know, some of the things that maybe the general public doesn't know about and maybe doesn't want to think about. But we're doing a crisis management drill on the 22nd, and we have officers from the Aberdeen Police Department coming in and going through that training with us, and to talk about the things that you never want to really think about, mm-hmm. and that those are obviously important things. And then in the afternoon on the 22nd, we are working hard to look at our data in regard to testing data and examine how our students are doing, and looking at hopefully some trend data. It's first year for this particular data from testing that we did last year, and examine that, see if we need to make any instructional corrections in our curriculum and how we do things as teachers. So I don't know if the teachers feel the same way as I do, but I'm kind of excited about looking at that and having a positive impact on instruction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hope that you can learn. We always say we're doomed if we don't know our history, and sometimes our history can teach us how to go forward. I think that's really kind of what you're saying here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We just purchased a testing instrument called ACT Aspire here at the Aberdeen Catholic School System, and it's really preps them for that big test at the end of their junior year. And we start it in third grade, and we're able to look at how the students are performing on that particular test, and it's mirrored after the ACT.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really excited to be able to look at that data and hopefully, like I said, look at some trend data and make a difference.
Well, certainly Roncalli has a rich tradition. You know, we've been talking about the faith side, but certainly from the academic side as well. You have a lot of students who have had a lot of success.
Yeah, you know, it's just really amazing. And, you know, again, my third year here, and I'm just so impressed with the quality of students that we have academically. They're so engaged and focused on academics, and we have amazing teachers that work very hard. We had several students who scored above 30 on their ACT, and we're really proud about that. It's a testament to to their focus as students and the parents and their commitment to their education and the instructors that we have here at school.
What about, let's talk a little bit more about the kids in terms of their own preparation. You know, I know the parents do some preparation. I don't know if the kids actually do a lot of preparation to come back to school.
Well, you know, it's really amazing. We have the opportunity for dual credits here with all the universities in the state of South Dakota. And, man, the kids are just, they're so busy. They have so many activities, but they still have time to take online dual credit classes and get college credit and high school credit during the summer. Mm-hmm. And there's many students that took advantage of that. In fact, University of Mary awarded a lot of our students credits over the summer. So they're hardworking kids.
And that can really make a big difference when you get to the college level if you already got a bunch of those credits done.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. That just started the last couple of years ago. You know, in any school in the state of South Dakota can, you know, have their student, or, you know, students can sign up with any university and start that dual credit class, and it's afforded to any school in the state of South Dakota, and Ron Colley takes advantage of that. And there's some students that can start their college career with their freshman year behind them, and room and board is at mom and dad's house and food and all that stuff. So, I mean, that's a huge savings. So it's a pretty amazing opportunity for our students.
It makes college just that much more accessible, I think, to everyone, regardless of whatever their economic situation might be.
Right. And, yeah. And it really provides schools, you know, high schools with that opportunity to, you know, provide for their students. And those classes are rigorous and they're tough. They are truly college courses, and you know, it is nothing. It's very rigorous, so kids have to work hard at it.
And then, you know, thinking about that, back to the teacher side, that creates another another challenge for the teachers, that they have to be prepared for that as well.
Absolutely. You know, we're the teachers here at Ron Colley, they're AP certified, and we have teachers who are capable of doing the AP courses. So I mean, they have to stay competitive and you know, work hard, and they do. And you know, that's another thing that, you know, I just am excited to talk about at Ron Colley. On the 23rd, actually, on Wednesday of that first week of school, all of our teachers, 7 through 12, will begin a STEM certification course through NSU, and it's 12 credits of graduate hours from NSU. And our pre-K through 6 teachers finished the whole program, 12 credits, in July, and there's quite a celebration. And as their president slash superintendent, I asked a lot of my teachers to give their time during the summer and Wednesday nights during last school year to get this STEM certification. And now our 7 through 12 teachers will be doing that. And STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics. That's kind of a catchphrase that's been out in the educational world for a while. But Ron Colley is going to be the first pre-K through 12th grade certified STEM school in the state of South Dakota.
Wow.
And all of our teachers will be STEM certified. And it's a very rigorous coursework, and our teachers have been amazing. They're extremely committed and dedicated to academic excellence here at the Aberdeen Catholic School, and I couldn't be more proud. We celebrated in the last week of July, actually, in regard to finishing that program, and I don't know, it was truly amazing.
That's a remarkable feat.
We're proud of it. We're putting the R in and the A in, and now we call it STREAM.
There you go, it's STREAM.
We got to have R in there for religion and A for arts, because we need to take care of our first focus, and we need to put the A in for arts to make sure that we're being creative and students have that ability to be creative.
Well, isn't that what you really want? Is really well-rounded students? Certainly, the science and technology and math, all of those are critical in the world we live in today, but if they're not a well-rounded person with the other aspects, certainly including religion as a school of faith, then it doesn't mean much.
You're absolutely right. And Mark Stone, our religious teacher, he reminded me, said, you know, Jeff, I don't see a lot of the R in the stream. We need to make sure we're taking care of that. And you know, we have several teachers that truly make sure that we understand what comes first. And you know, the arts, it's really interesting because we have two music teachers sitting in with that group of teachers, and the things that they came up with to enhance and improve what the classroom teachers were doing and the ideas that they gave to them to talk, you know, exactly what you're talking about, being well-rounded, being shaped and, you know, formed to, and make sure that we're being creating creativity and excitement in the classroom. And it's very important.
Yeah, absolutely so. Let's move to another group of folks that I know are critical to the success of Aberdeen Catholic Schools, and that's the parents. I know you have, like all of our Catholic schools, have an extraordinary group of parents who really support all these things that you've talked about this morning. They support that and encourage you and frankly provide the resources to do it, right?
You know, I just can't express enough gratitude to the folks that send their children here. Absolutely. They send extremely bright, dedicated, committed children here, and it all begins at home. And I don't know what I could say to say more about them. It's truly an amazing place. I've spent almost 25 years in the public school system and was proud to do that, and there's amazing schools in the public system, but there's just a dedication here that's a notch above in regard to, you know, they pay their property taxes to, and it takes care of the public schools, and then they pay tuition on top of it because they see the value in what we have to offer, and it's truly amazing, and they're great group of parents, and I couldn't be more proud to serve them in my capacity.
They end up being your key volunteers as well, and we all know schools really rely on a lot of volunteerism to be successful.
You know, and they're amazing. They're there when you need them. We have projects going on all the time, and to get volunteers to take care of things, it's never a problem. In fact, sometimes the problem is we got too many people, and always willing to pitch in and make things happen. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. We couldn't be who we are without our parents, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely so. And the last group I want to mention are your parishes, your pastors and the parish staffs. I know there's a real effort right now in Aberdeen to work together, and I suspect the schools end up being a big beneficiary of that.
Right. Father Mike Griffin and Father Mark Lichter are amazing, and it's hard to, when I say their names out loud, it just they make me chuckle because they're so enjoyable to work with, and it's fun when we get together. And you said it, there's a sense of unity. Sacred Heart and St. Mary's are coming together like never before, in working together. We sit down and have weekly meetings, Father Mike, Father Mark, David Vetch from the Aberdeen Catholic Foundation, and myself, and we talk about the future of our school. We talk about the future of the parishes, and, you know, something that we say frequently whenever we have the opportunity is this school is a mission of the parishes, mm-hmm. and without the churches, the school does not exist. And, you know, religious education is vitally important, and it was so important to the two churches that they created a school. And, you know, the other thing that's very important for everybody to understand is you have our religious Catholic education is very important to us, but it is not any more important than the CCD religious education that our students receive from the two parishes. Mm-hmm. And the school fully supports that and is committed to helping in any way that we can. So we truly have had a renewed sense of unity. We work together, and it's really been an amazing experience.
It's really fun, Jeff, to talk about kind of some of these things that really are critical to making up the Aberdeen Catholic schools, and in particular, I guess we've talked a lot about Ron Colley and the junior and senior high this morning. As we wrap up this morning, you know, athletics gets a lot of attention, but here this morning, we haven't even mentioned athletics till just this moment, because there's just so much more that's going on.
You know, it's really interesting you say that. I have a philosophy, and anybody that is around me long enough, they're going to hear that if we take care of our faith and if we take care of our academics, the athletics and the activities will always take care of themselves. Our best band students and our best student athletes are typically your best academic students, and they're so involved in so many things. So we encourage our students to get involved in everything. But they have to come with a solid faith formation foundation, and they have to come with the best academic experience that they can possibly have. And that's our focus, and it's in that order. You know, when you come to the activities, meetings in the evenings, we always talk about faith comes first, family, academics, and then the activities. And we have to have our priorities right. So, yeah, you know, Ron Colley is very competitive and always has been, but it's a byproduct of taking care of the other important things first.
Well, it's great to have this conversation with you, Jeff. Jeff Simmons, who is president and superintendent of the Aberdeen Catholic Schools. We hope you have a terrific year.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Gene, as the interview suggests, Catholic schools across South Dakota, many of them starting up over the next few days.
It's hard to believe already that the summer has come to a close, but I know a lot of students, while as they might not be interested in going back to class enthusiastically, they do like getting back with their friends and getting back to the learning regimen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we wish everyone a great school year. Hope that everyone has a terrific success this year. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.